Yes, so.
Okay, we will call this meeting to order. Chris, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Cardoza.
Here.
Councilmember Christensen.
Here.
Councilmember Laraway.
Yes.
Council President McPherson.
Yes.
Mayor Steer.
Here. And if you join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. First item is the consent agenda. Is any questions or comments or anything you want pulled for discussion? Motion to approve.
Well, seeing no objections from council, I'd move we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza. Councilmember Christensen.
Yes.
Councilmember Laraway.
Yes.
Council President McPherson.
Yes.
And that motion carries. First item under external reports or requests, CUNA Bicycle and Pedestrian Plan Executive Summary. Edinson Bautista, if you want to take the podium there, you may have the floor, sir.
If you hit the green button, it'll turn red. Just touch it. The green. There you go. Now the mic's on.
Oh, okay. Good evening, Mayor Steer and City Council. My name is Edinson Bautista, ACAC Senior Transportation Planner. In today's meeting, I wanted to provide an update to the CUNA Neighborhood Bicycle and Pedestrian Plan and share with you an executive summary of the project, which includes a summary of the public involvement and a proposed project list. The neighborhood plan aims to achieve 5 objectives. Identify and map the biking and walking destination pertaining to the bicycle areas, to the planning areas. Develop a plan that communicates existing conditions and community needs, as well as convey proposals of projects to both the public and ACHD. Through a robust public outreach process, identify the community needs for connectivity, biking, and walking. Through analysis, technical review, and public outreach, define, prioritize, and rank projects that address the needs identified. And finally, identify existing gaps in the sidewalk and bicycle network. As part of today's presentation, I wanted to provide an overview of the tools used to collect public input. In summary, the public outreach process consisted in 3 main components: a school outreach, an online comment period, and an online open house. As part of the school outreach, we coordinated with the CUNA Middle School to survey 5th to 8th grade students. Through this effort, a total of 349 students participated in the survey and provided input on questions like what type of facilities they prefer to walk or bike, what prevents them from walking or biking, and what would help them to walk or bike more. For the online comment period, we released an online comment map or interactive map that allowed the public to provide feedback on what pedestrian bicycle projects they would like to see in the city of CUNA. From this effort, we received a total of 116 comments. After collecting and compiling this feedback, a proposed project list was developed and share with the public once more through an online open house with the use of an online story map, which allowed the public to provide further feedback on bicycle and pedestrian projects, as well as rank their top 3 projects. For this effort, we received a total of 64 comments and 135 like projects. Overall, through this public outreach effort, we received a total of 529 comments from the city of CUNA. The public outreach effort was used to identify and prioritize bicycle pedestrian crossing projects and develop a draft proposed project list, which was included as part of the council packet. This draft list consists of 144 projects, where 19 are bicycle projects, 22 sidewalk projects, 20 crossing projects, and 83 major roadway projects. The railroad projects include both bicycle and pedestrian improvements. Just to highlight a few, I wanted to mention some of the projects identified through the neighborhood plan process. One of them being Avalon Street and K Avenue, which received a lot of attention during the first and second public outreach. Due to its location and jurisdiction, the project is identified to be a joint effort between ACHC, City of CUNA, and Idaho Transportation Department. Other projects highlighted by the public included Swanfold Road from Avalon Street to King Road and Deer Flat Road from 10 Mile Road and Deer Horn Avenue. Finally, as next steps, tomorrow, September 8th, we'll be releasing the draft plan to the public through the ACHC website. On September 15th, we'll be presenting the draft plan to the ACHC Commission. And on September 22nd, we will be back in front of the commission for adoption consideration. And with this, I conclude my presentation. I'll stand for any questions.
Okay, questions? How do you feel that the public comment period went? Do you think we got pretty good response? I know you gave the numbers, but is that what we would normally expect or better than or?
Correct. So based on previous neighborhood planning process, that's a pretty good comment period, a good amount of comments that we received. And they were widespread throughout the entire planning area, which in general follows the City of CUNA area of impact. So it was very interesting, the locations that we received comments. And at the same time, the input received on the second public outreach was very very positive to the project list that we showed to the public. So a lot of likes and comments towards the price that we were presenting were very unfavorable of the draft list.
Good. Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate that. I know there was talk a while back from highway district commissioners about cutting way back on community projects and things like that. And they put those back up there, and I appreciate that a lot. So. That's something that we desperately need in CUNA is filling sidewalk gaps and some bicycle safety. So very much appreciated. Anybody have anything you wanted to ask?
No. Other than that? I got one question. I know just based on, I guess you can help answer more or less why there wasn't more included on here from this particular location, but based on a lot of what I heard, just because it's part of the city I live in, is 10 Mile Road is always a grave concern for people. There is some connection, but there's a lot of gaps with not even sidewalks or shoulders. And I'm looking at the project list and nothing, there is nothing on 10 Mile except one crossing, a few crossings, I should say. Other than that, 10 Mile Road has nothing planned for sidewalks, multi-use or anything. Is there a reason that wasn't focused, as opposed to, you know, K Avenue is flooded with bike lanes and things like that?
So Mayor Sears, City Council Christensen, 10 Mile was identified as a major roadway improvement, and you might, and as it is right now in the executive summary, if you go to the later pages, you will find the major roadway improvements. And we have it identified as part of the 881 and A79, which are projects that are typically connected to widening projects that will include it will include pedestrian and bicycle improvement as part of the of those capital improvement plans, capital improvement projects, sorry.
Nice. Great, thank you.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And did we have Carl Miller Compass? Okay. Well, we'll skip that. If we hear from him, we'll go back to it. Business items. Consideration to approve resolution R35-2021, approving J&M Sanitation new fee schedule. Jared Empey.
Mayor and Council, Jared Empey, City Treasurer. So I just wanted to bring this forward. Basically, this is just prior J&M Sanitation fee schedule with full add to it. I think this is a good way of keeping up with the cost of providing the service, reducing the level of service. And so that's why we're requesting a full increase. Just basically, it's in line with inflation as calculated from last year to this year. So, have questions? I said for questions, I believe Chad is here as well. If you have any questions.
Okay, question.
I do have a question if I could.
Yes.
And apologies, this number might not be right off the top of your head, but one question I have, during COVID, the decision was made not to allow any more lawn clipping pickup bags or anything like that, no trash, with lids have to be completely closed. And that really forced a lot of people into getting two or three extra trash cans that have the bigger yards. How much is it per month per trash can?
It's there. Mayor and Council, so if I remember right, I believe that it's $2 extra approximately per can.
Chad, welcome.
Hello. Mayor, council members, so it runs about $2.38 per additional cart per month, and that's for the trash. Now, if they wanted recycling, it's a straight $2 a month per cart. And as of like at last year, because we did make that change, we did it. We went ahead and forewent having a rate increase at that point due to that change that we had. So we didn't take any rate increase last year.
Okay. No, I guess my thought process was just trying to align with what changes were made and then what changes we're asking for, kind of built on top of that. But you do bring up a really valid point, and that is kind of a year over year adjustment. So yeah, I don't have any further questions or concerns with that. So
okay. Anybody else? Okay.
It's not a big thing, but my neighbor complained when I told him you were taking a rate increase. Next time, could you specifically put down that it's a COLA, or maybe, Jared, a little more explanation how he wanted to know if we were going to put it out the bid, but why does the garbage company automatically get a rate increase? And it was kind of like Warren said, there's still some bitter taste in some people's mouths about containers have to be standardized. And I understand the reason for standardized with your trucks. It just makes it easier. And I tried to explain that it actually kept the rates down because the driver can cover a big territory when it's standardized. But in the future, could you kind of break out, it's a cost of living, not a rate increase per se, as far as I'm concerned, you could use the money to buy razor blades. I don't know, so.
Well, he needs one. Look at this. I'm trying to save on the razor blades here. So I think, is it kind of somewhat spelled out, Jared, as it says, you know, cost of living in the resolution, or maybe not in the resolution. I know what it says. I read it a couple of places where it says it's an actual cost. But so based upon our contract, it's placed in there that we can use the, you know, the cost of living on a yearly basis. Because in past, we had gone sometimes 8-10 years without doing a rate increase, then we had to do a pretty substantial one. So rather than throwing that on a customer, you know, all at once, we just figured this is a much better way to handle that rate increase over a yearly basis. And it is based upon, I don't remember where we get the statistics from. It's Northwest Transportation or overall.
Well, I believe that this is from the government inflation numbers. So basically, we just take a year over year, and then we can calculate what the change is based on that.
And that's based upon all the, you know, different pieces, parts that go into transportation, you know, type costs, so on and so forth.
I guess what I'm saying, somebody looking at the agenda would wonder, what is why the rate increase when the service has diminished a little bit? So a little more explanatory, I guess, on the agenda of people looking at.
You know, and another thing, if you guys do run across that question too, you know, one of the things we found with going to the carded system is, it actually makes it a little more equal per household because rates at the landfills have gone up. And so when somebody's placing five toters out versus the guy that's next door putting one out, it just makes it a little more ethical, almost kind of pay as you throw type of system where if you're going to produce five trash cans, then you, you know, worth, you probably ought to be paying a little bit more than the guy next door that's only doing one trash can. So
thank you, Chad.
Any further questions?
Okay. Anything further?
Nope. Thanks, Chad.
Yes, Chris.
Mayor, I did have a question for Chad. I don't think council's received an update on your new vehicles, the electric vehicles. No. If you could give them just a brief update, if absolutely, that's all right with Mayor.
So sure. I'm sure everybody got to see the news article that came about Republics, but we have had two fully electric garbage trucks operating since February. They are collecting 75% of all of our residential trash within the city. They are doing approximately 9 hours of work time, between 30 and 35 miles of distance, anywhere between 700 and 800 homes. And that's between 1,000 and 1,400 lifts of the arm. They're leaving the yard with 100% and coming back at the end of the day with anywhere between 30 and 40% battery capacity. We are the first in Idaho to have Class 8 refuse collection vehicles that are 100% electric. They were number 9 and number 10 in the whole North America. And our hope is that by the end of next year, all of our residential trash and recycling collection will be collected with 100% electric refuse collection vehicles. So it's been a great project. And we did go ahead and send it over to KTVB and everybody in the beginning. And I think they kind of pushed it to the side. So, but we did get some great exposure elsewhere. And it sounds like the city of Kuna is kind of working on some other projects that we'd like to maybe do a big roll out of everything as far as EVs go. So we're definitely excited about the progress we've made on it. And we're getting a lot of interest from people throughout the United States who are asking us how the model is working here locally. So as far as the city of Kuna goes, we're kind of cutting edge as far as EVs go in Class 8 transportation.
And now BRT is unveiling the first electric bus. So that's happening here soon, like. So there's a lot of people following suit with that.
And the Treasure Valley has been a hotbed for it. You know, like I said, the city of Boise is really pushing for it. They've asked Republic to get as many as they can possibly get to try to get most of their routes turned over. We have a really optimum system here, the way that we operate in the, you know, the area that we operate in. And so I don't know if, you know, they'll see maybe as much success as we've seen. But like I said, again, these things are doing them day in, day out since February. The drivers love them. The only complaints we get is that they're too quiet and nobody can hear them coming down the road, so they don't drag their trash out at the last minute, so we have to go back for a lot. But even with that go backs, we're still making it on one charge. So it's been awesome. It's been a good project. And everybody's welcome to come check them out if they ever got time to come by the yard and see them. They're down there in the afternoons, and I'm always about giving people. In fact, I would like to invite city council and everybody. We are having something September 14th. Idaho Solid Waste Association is bringing people out from all over the state, other haulers, people that are involved with landfill, city managers, so on and so forth, to see the operations we have.
Chad, will the rates go down now that you're saving money on diesel?
I wish that was the case, but the cost of the trucks themselves were about double the cost of a normal diesel truck. So we still got to wait a little ways before that starts to pan out as it should, but we're working towards it. And it will help with sustainability in the long run.
You know, so far what we're seeing, cost of repairs is in the long run going to be better than what we're seeing on diesel trucks. And it's obviously cleaner for the environment. So.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Okay. Very good. Thank you very much. So we would just need a motion to approve resolution R35-2021.
I would so move we approve resolution R35-2021.
I'll second.
Motion made and seconded to approve resolution R35-2021. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? And that motion carries. Proclamations, elevate our everyday heroes. Whereas we recognize our law enforcement officers, firefighters, EMS, dispatchers, corrections, coroners, chaplains, retired first responders, healthcare workers, clinicians, our military, our veterans, and their families as everyday heroes. And whereas those heroes put themselves in harm's way, protecting and serving our communities without hesitation. And whereas they are called to help, serve, protect, and save lives. And whereas their selfless work can take a great toll on their physical and mental health. And whereas over the past 4 years, we've seen a devastating upturn in numbers of suicides among these professions. And whereas Idaho is currently tied for 50th in the United States for having the least amount of mental health and wellness resources, we recognize it is paramount for us as a community to surround our first responders, members of the military, our veterans, and their families with love, respect, and the best resources available for them to maintain their mental health, wellness, and build resiliency. And whereas it has been shown that improving access to good mental health and wellness resources substantially affects their family's well-being, as well as the community in which they serve. And whereas we honor and pay tribute to those who have been lost in the line of duty or died by suicide, as well as those who continue to keep the spirit of true heroism alive each day by serving as our everyday heroes. Now, therefore, I, Joe Steer, Mayor of the City of Cuna, Idaho, do hereby proclaim September 11, 2020, to be Elevate Our Everyday Heroes Day. And next, this one also seems to be quite timely. Whereas September 17, 2021 marks the 234th anniversary of the drafting of the Constitution of the United States of America by the Constitutional Convention, and whereas it is fitting and proper to accord official resignation to this magnificent document and its memorable anniversary and to the patriotic celebrations which commemorate the occasion, and whereas Public Law 915 guarantees the issuing of a proclamation each year by the President of the United States of America designating September 17th through the 23rd as Constitution Week, and ask our citizens to reaffirm the ideals of the framers of the Constitution had in 1787 by vigilantly protecting the freedoms, guaranteeing to us this guardian of our liberties, remembering that lost rights may never be regained. Now, therefore, I, Joe Steer, by virtue of the authority vested in me as mayor of the city of Cuna, do hereby proclaim the week of September 17 through 23rd as Constitution Week. Ordinances. Consideration to approve ordinance number 2021-19A. This is a municipal annexation and zoning ordinance of the City Council of the City of Cuna, making certain findings and declaration of authority and annexing certain real properties, to wit, Ada County Assessor's parcel numbers S131344-9905, owned by State or SH69 North LLC, and S131344-9910, owned by SH69 Holdings LLC, within unincorporated area of Ada County, Idaho, and to contiguous to the corporate limits of the city of Cuna, into the city of Cuna, Idaho, and establishing the zoning classifications of said real properties, and directing the city engineer and the city clerk, and providing an effective date.
Okay.
I would move we waive three readings of ordinance 2021-19A.
I'll second that.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings of ordinance 2021-19A. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries.
I would move we approve ordinance 2021-19A.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve ordinance 2021-19A. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Next, we have consideration to approve ordinance 2021-27. Amending Title II with the addition of Chapter 6, Development Impact Fee Advisory Committee. Chris Ingalls, City Clerk, do you want to add anything on that or just go ahead and read through the ordinance?
No, sir, I don't have anything to add on this one or the next one. Just read through.
I can report on it, Mayor, if you want. This is Bill Gabriel. I can't push a button here, so I just speak up if that's okay, sir. Proposed ordinance 2021-27 and 28 are both before you for consideration because of House Bill 124 that the legislature approved this last year, which changed the requirements for membership of the advisory committees for development impact fees. The big change was that it requires that the members that are appointed after July 1st have to reside within the boundaries of the city. Before, we didn't have that qualification. And as you know, you have three different impact fees established for the city. You have police, you have parks, and you have by intergovernmental agreement an impact fee for the fire district. So what these two ordinances provide is that, in working with Chris Ingalls on this, which I really appreciate all of her input, as well as Crystal Hinkle, who is the secretary of the CUNA Rural Fire Protection District and the administrator of their impact fees, also working with Bobby Withrow and with the police chief. It was decided that it's best that there only be one advisory committee for all of your three impact fees rather than try to proceed with two or three because of these residency requirements and another change, a slight change in what the qualifications are of the members. So in order to do that, this proposes to add a new chapter in Title II, which is Title II of your code, is the provisions related to commissions and standing committees of the city. So this would add a whole new chapter to that title to provide for the City of CUNA Development Impact Fee Advisory Committee that would serve in that capacity for all three impact fees, who would receive information and make recommendations of council reports on all the capital improvement plans of the three impact fees that you have enacted. 2021-28, which is the next ordinance, and with your permission, Mr. Mayor, I'll just do a quick report on that. This These are all amendments to existing impact fee statutes of the ordinances of the city, so that it is clear that the advisory committee is the new advisory committee that we've established or will establish in Chapter 6 of Title 2. So there isn't any confusion that we have more than one advisory committee. So that's the purpose of these ordinances for your consideration, and I would stand for any questions.
Okay, any questions for Bill? All right, very good, thank you. This is an ordinance regarding development impact fee advisory committees, amending Title II by the addition of a new Chapter 6, establishing the City of CUNA Development Impact Fee Advisory Committee, directing the city clerk, and providing an effective date and publication.
I would assume we can just streamline this as well.
I would think we can, yes.
Okay, I would move we waive three readings of ordinance 2021-27.
A second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings of ordinance 2021-27. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries.
I would then move we approve ordinance 2021-27.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve ordinance 2021-27. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza? Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Larraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries.
I would move we approve summary publication of ordinance 2021-27.
I'll second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve a summary publication of ordinance 2021-27. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. Consideration to approve ordinance 2021-28, establishing one advisory committee to all impact fees. This is an ordinance regarding development and impact fee advisory committees, amending Section 2 of Chapter 3 of Title 12, repealing Section 15 of Chapter 3 of Title 12, amending Section 2 of Chapter 2 of Title 12, CUNA City Code, repealing Section 16 of Chapter 2 of Title 12, amending Section 2 of Chapter 1 of Title 12, CUNA City Code, and repealing Section 13 of Chapter 1 of Title 12, CUNA City Code, directing the city clerk and providing an effective date and publication.
Okay, I move we waive three readings of ordinance 2021-28.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings of ordinance 2021-28. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries.
I would move we approve ordinance 2021-28.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve ordinance 2021-28. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza? Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Larraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries.
I would move we approve summary publication of ordinance 2021-28.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve a summary publication of ordinance 2021-28. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. We will need to go into executive session. We won't be making any decisions on this when we come back out. So most likely the only thing that I will say is that information was received, no action was taken. And the reason I mention that is just in case the audience doesn't want to hang for waiting for not hearing anything when we get done. But the one thing I would like to mention is we have discussed having a, well, we have the council seats that have been signed up for. We had the 1 2-year seat for Warren Christensen, that signed up for. He was the only one that signed up for that, so we just need to get him moved into that seat. The four-year seat, there was five people that have signed up for that one. There is two of those seats available. We have Chris Bruce, Martha Drake, Tyson Garten, John Laraway, and Jeff Marler have all signed up for that. Not this next council meeting, but the one after that. I thought it would be good for at a city council meeting to give each candidate, if they want to 3 or 4 minutes to just present what their thoughts are and where they stand on things, and do that kind of an outside of a candidate forum, so that you can just kind of present your case and that type of thing. I don't know if we'll have any questions from the council that's going to be remaining seating. If we do something like that, I would just ask that any questions, nothing is given to any of the candidates beforehand, unless we give it to all of the candidates beforehand. So we'll see how that goes. We'll work that in. But I thought that might be a good time for us to go ahead and introduce the candidates and get to know those folks. So I think we'll be notifying them and the public and letting everybody know that we're doing that. So, and I can't think of anything else that I was going to mention right offhand. So anyway, if we could have a motion for executive session.
I would move we adjourn to executive session under Idaho Code 742061C to receive information.
Second that.
Motion is made and seconded to adjourn to executive session under Idaho Code Section 74-206-1C to receive information regarding the acquisition of an interest in real property. We can have, we'll need Bobby Withrow.
Thanks, Chad.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
We'll need Bobby Withrow, and I guess, Chris, do you want to just stay and record? Okay. And then...
you want me to stay in?
Council, and then so I imagine we're going to have to, do we want to call him or have him call us? Okay, so we'll call you. And
great, you got my phone number.
She's got your number.
I bet she does. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Bye, Nancy. Pictures?
No. Pictures.